What is it about Archie Roach and his music that captivates people?
Well, he isn't like anyone else, not in his voice, nor his experience, nor the way he writes songs. So Archie Roach he's a towering talent in Australia, but he's also very respected internationally. He's played with Bob Dylan and Patti Smith and Sting, and so has Ruby Hunter, his partner, who is also very centre stage in this film. And when you listen to both Archie and Ruby, there's this incredible emotion and soul and depth to their voices that is unique.
How did you sort of come to know Archie and Ruby? I imagine there must have been a great deal of trust to sort of invite somebody in and basically, essentially document what was going on in this period of time.
There are sort of two parts to the filmmaking process. The first part was that in 2004, I was running a production company. I was financing a film, which was the producer, which was Ray Lawrence's Jindabyne. And I was pretty caught up in that. And then Patrick Nolan, who's the concert director of Kuratunga Songs from the River, which is the concert featured in the film, he's a friend of mine, a very fine theatre and opera director, and came to me and said, I'm doing a show with Archie Roach, Ruby Hunter, Paul Grabowski and the Australian Art Orchestra. And he said, I think it's going to be pretty special and I think it should be documented. Would you do it? And I said, sure, great, I'm in. I really only knew about Archie and Paul Grabowski at that point. I hadn't heard Ruby Hunter. And the thing that was very extraordinary musically about this collaboration was that Archie and Ruby really were known for singing their songs very simply with an acoustic guitar and maybe a tambourine or just one other person on stage. And they were collaborating with a 22-piece orchestra, and the arrangements were being done by Paul Grabowski and members of the Australian Art Orchestra. So musically, it was a very interesting coming together of two musical styles. The other thing was that at the time that the concert was staged, the Australian government hadn't apologised to the Stolen Generations. So it was also a concert that was put together as an act of reconciliation through collaboration between Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists. So it had a number of things going on that was compelling culturally and musically. But then at that point, when we filmed the concert, the film didn't end up being made. And of course, I met Archie and Ruby. I hadn't known them until I actually recorded the concert, or filmed it rather. And then years later, when I came back to that footage, Ruby had very sadly passed in 2010. Archie, I went to a concert with Paul Grabowski again, working with Archie on his concert, Tell Me Why, which was a concert and a record that was done around the release of his memoir, which is a stunning book. If anyone would care to read it, it really is a great book. And I went backstage and I said, look, I've always wanted to do something with that footage and I'd like to make this film. Of course, I had to ask Archie's permission. I also consulted with Ruby Hunter's brothers, her remaining siblings, Eric Richards and Jeff Hunter. And I asked Archie to come on as producer because Archie is the custodian not only of his own songs and stories, but of Ruby Hunter's. So his involvement was very important. And I also asked Emma Donovan, who's a great artist and singer in her own right and who sang in the Black Armband with Archie and Ruby and knew Ruby and still sings Ruby songs. So it was a real collaboration. The film was a collaboration too between Indigenous artists and non-Indigenous artists as filmmakers. So I really took my cue from Paul Grabowski and the Australian Art Orchestra. That was, you know, that was where the trust kind of existed. And it's been a very happy working relationship.
Yeah, and what we've received as a result is this extremely touching and moving documentary, sort of cinematic concert piece. I'm really excited for folks to finally get to see and hear what it is that is sort of encapsulated in this documentary. Beyond sort of the songs that are performed on stage, there's a couple of other elements that I want to touch on. One of those being that this is as much a love story as it is a documentary. We get a sort of peek into the intimate life of Archie and Ruby, both on stage and off stage. You must have been privy to some really tender moments during filming.
I was. And look, you know, I'm so glad that you see that love story, because I funnily enough, I don't even think of it as a documentary. I didn't really conceive it as one, even though it is, in that it's actual life. But when I went back to the material, what I saw, which I hadn't seen when we were filming because I didn't have the time with the footage and the material to really go through it carefully. And also I had no money when I first started. So as a director, I was logging all the rushes. I didn't have an editor do it. So the upside to that was that I saw moments and I know every single second of that footage and every note of every song, which is a really good starting point. I was immersed in that. And what I saw actually first and foremost was a love story. And those moments that you see in the film, every moment that we recorded of that intimate connection and humour, I mean, Ruby is very funny and I wanted that really in the film. But the way they relate to one another is incredibly touching and beautiful, because Archie has such reverence for Ruby and Ruby is funny and witty and clever, and you see that interaction and you see two people who met when they were 16, 17 as teenagers and spent 38 years together. And at that point when we filmed the concert, I mean, they'd been together since they were teenagers. And they were also musical partners. They had children together. They had an extended family of foster children. You know, they have remarkable lives and they're extraordinarily generous, beautiful people.
Yeah, the respect between them is almost palpable, sort of watching Archie leave room for Ruby to play and to have those funny, cheeky comments, but then also to share her music too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of women who see the film, whether they're First Nations people or not, everyone comments and says, I wish, you know, my partner spoke about me the way Archie Roach talks about Ruby Hunter and the way he is with her. So women see that respect is just, I mean, you're right, it is palpable and it's very important. And he has incredible, I mean, that respect he has for women as a man is also it's a dimension to the film which surprised me that people picked up on that so much. You know, it was like, wow, he's incredible with her. And she is with him, you know. And she's also, I mean, because I think she's more famous than Ruby. And I think if Ruby was still with us, she would have the same amount of fame. And one of the things that, you know, we hope the film does is give her the legacy and the honour that she deserves as an artist. Because I think if she was still with us, she would be as famous as Archie as a singer. And I mean, Paul Grabowski talks about just being blown away the first time he heard her sing, that she almost has this sort of Nina Simone, Billie Holiday, like this depth of her voice that you can almost feel it kind of shaking in your soul. It's really powerful. That's also something about the film that I think is important, that Ruby is centre stage, and that's been a joy because people have been able to discover her who've seen the film. And they say, oh, I knew about Archie, but I had no idea Ruby Hunter was so amazing.
We're speaking this morning with Philippa Bateman, the director, producer and writer of Wash My Soul in the Rivers Flow, a documentary sort of piecing together archival footage and concert series from Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter with the Australian Art Orchestra. Now, we've talked a lot about
the landscape.
And the landscape. Well, which brings me to my next point is littered throughout this are these incredible scenic shots of country. What goes into making sort of one of those shots happen, let alone an entire film's worth?
Starting point was when I looked at the footage that we had, all the action takes place inside rooms, which is great because what happens in those rooms is amazing. But Archie and Ruby sing to country and about country, and specifically Ruby's country, which is Ngurundjeri country, which is in South Australia, the Coorong and the lower lakes and regions of the Coorong. And I thought it's really important that audiences are able to see what they're singing about. So we went off Coorong and we worked with Ruby Hunter's family. So the house that you see in Daisy Chains, which is the second song in the film, that is actually the place that Ruby was stolen from. The landscapes around it, I mean, when you say what goes into those shots, we did a lot of drone camera work. And the reason for that was that I didn't want to look like typical drone footage, but we didn't have cranes or helicopters. But I wanted that very majestic landscape to be captured. And what's extraordinary when you stand on that landscape, it's very flat and the river is almost below the flatness of the country. When you're above it, you're just blown away by how extraordinarily beautiful and rich and diverse it is. And so I wanted to capture that. And how we did that, that was with drone camera work. But I was working with Bonnie Elliott, with Alan Collins, who shot the concert rehearsals and conversations, and Bonnie Elliott, who'd actually worked with Alan years ago. And they're both superb cinematographers and have different strengths. But Bonnie and I came up with this language. I said I didn't want any mid shots. I wanted very close, as if you were in the river and as if you were in the landscape, very, very close. And capturing reflections and feeling like you were bathed in light and the water, and then having that huge, incredibly, almost hard to wrap your eye around it kind of landscape, because that vastness is also what they sing about. So it was capturing and bringing those two things. And also I didn't want the landscape to feel like inserts or like I was cutting away to it, that there was actually, I wanted there to be no separation between the story, them, how they sing about their love and their country, so that it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but so that it flowed, so that everything flowed. So there wasn't separation, because for Archie and Ruby, there isn't separation.
Yeah, well, I guess what you're saying there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is those songs inherently are about the landscape, and the imagery lends itself so nicely when the song is being performed.
Yeah, and the country, when you hear them sing and you see that country, you understand immediately. You know, you don't have to sort of imagine. And I think that, you know, when you're watching a film, one of the nice things is that imagining is happening for you. And also, metaphorically, I mean, we found there's birds all the way through the film, and Ruby believed that she had been a pelican prior to being, you know, in her life as Ruby Hunter, and that she returned to being a pelican. And the Nori, which is the Ngurundjeri word for pelican, is her totem. And the pelicans, when you're there, they're everywhere. You know, they're a force. They're in the landscape in a way as creatures, and you coexist with them and you feel that. And there's incredible parrots and amazing, I mean, there's just this extraordinary bird life. And those birds in the film for me were like the stolen children, and they're there, and they're this presence, and they don't go away. They are all the way through the film, because that, you know, that's a part of what Ruby sang about.
That's the final thing that I want to touch on this morning with you, Philippa, is of course there is beautiful scenic and landscape that comes to the forefront of the imagery in this documentary. One of the other things, though, is the archival footage. And you touched on there about the children who were stolen, and that is also a focus as part of some of these songs in this film.
Yeah.
Both Archie and Ruby, survivors of the stolen generation, an incredibly vulnerable thing to, or lending themselves to being incredibly vulnerable, to speak about this on stage and to sort of share that experience with everybody.
Yes, and I think one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted people to come to the film and discover that through Archie and Ruby talking about it, because obviously it's such a it happened to so many children, and it's such a disgrace, and it's such a tragedy, and such, you know, it's a shame in our culture, and it's something that still hasn't been fully addressed. But the thing that I found, we had people in their 20s who worked on the film, and unlike me, I didn't learn about the Stolen Generations at school, but they did. And they were talking about, I mean, I learned about it through my parents and when I was at university, but they had been taught it at school, and they were saying that they didn't really feel the import and the impact of that experience until they heard Archie and Ruby talking about it. So I wanted to sort of retain the very personal, it has been experienced by many Aboriginal children and people, but when you hear Archie and Ruby talk about it, there is that incredible vulnerability, but it's also about how they survived that. And I think what people are blown away by is that out of that incredible sadness in their love for each other and their music, they have survived, and not only survived, they triumphed. And that's a pretty extraordinary story.
And how lucky and privileged are we that we are not only invited to hear that story. I know that Ruby had quite vivid recollection of being stolen. We're not only invited to learn about that, but invited on the Walk of Reconciliation to learn about this with them and about the impact and where they are now.
Yes, absolutely.
The film Wash My Soul in the Rivers Flow, Archie Roach and Ruby Hunter at the absolute forefront with the Australian Art Orchestra and Country as well, is out in cinemas today. It comes to you from director, producer and writer Philippa Bateman. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.